is Charles Dunaway. I'm here with two people who are part of the negotiating team for the union at Ithaca College. Why don't you guys introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Rachel Kaufman. I'm a part-time faculty member in the writing department at Ithaca College and also a member of the contingent faculty bargaining, the contingent faculty union bargaining committee.
Okay. And I'm Brody Burrows. I teach as a lecturer in the art department. Mm-hmm. I've been here since about 2006. I've been teaching at IC and working there in various capacities. I'm also on the bargaining committee.
Well, I think maybe for listeners who are not really familiar with this whole thing, maybe give us a little bit of background about what it's like being an adjunct professor and why you guys at Ithaca College decided to go for a union.
By the time I was approached by Brody about the idea of starting a union, I was already really feeling the problems inherent in being an adjunct faculty person. I was teaching at that time at a few different schools. I've been teaching at the college level for about 8 years, and for the majority of that time, I've taught at two or three different schools at once in order to barely make above $20,000 a year. Mm-hmm. And I think that almost says it all, but one of the reasons that I really felt that a union was important for us to do was because I don't feel like, with the direction the academy is going in making most professor jobs, making more and more of them part-time and contingent, I think that higher ed is no longer going to be a sustainable place to work. I think that being a professor is not going to be a sustainable job. It's certainly not going to be a middle-class job, and already is not. And I think that in 20 years, I don't know who's going to want to do that job. And it's a good job, and it's important. Mm-hmm. So I want to see us make sure that the higher education institutions of tomorrow are there for students.
So yeah, just to jump in, I've been sort of on both sides of the coin. I used to have a tenure track job in a different part of the country, and I've had full-time work as a professor. I've had full-time work at IC. I've been teaching part-time there for about 7 years.
Yeah, I know you got a lot of publicity quite recently. In fact, I saw it in the Washington Post, this whole photo essay that very dramatic about the plight of the adjunct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, those stories, even though, yeah, they are dramatic stories, but they were the stories that just arose from those of us who were in the room. It's not like we went looking for stories.
Okay, yeah.
It was just those were the stories of those of us in the room, mm-hmm. One of us being on Medicaid, one of us not being able to pay back her IC student loans because she's an alum, because her IC salary is so low. Mm-hmm. Irony of ironies.
Yeah. The stories are varied, and they have a lot of different, challenges and issues. And we hear those stories and those challenges over and over again. Mm-hmm. The one thing that got me involved in this and led me to say I need to do something different. I either need to quit this work and find another path for my life, which, tore me up inside because I followed my passions and my dreams like my teachers told me to, and I do a great job according to my students. My student evaluations are pretty good, and I don't want to walk away from what I'm best at. But the lack of ability to plan a life that comes with being terminated and rehired twice a year started to wear on my soul. And I just had to make a choice, and that choice was either to, join with my fellow part-time faculty who were talking mm-hmm. about forming a union and change the place and make the job better, or leave it. And so we decided to give it a shot and try and make a change. And the more we talked to people, the more we realized that most of our colleagues were strongly in favor of giving that a shot too.
I know you're already got into negotiations. You've been in negotiations now for a while with the college. Maybe you can give us a sort of quick overview of what the process has been like and maybe some of the kinds of issues that have already been settled.
Yeah, so we've been at the bargaining table for a year now, and we have settled a lot of the smaller issues that, as you said, in a first contract, they need to be hammered out. They need to be in writing, even, you know, small things like we're going to get paid on the same day as our colleagues, which turns out we weren't in some cases. So that was an important thing, but of course not as important as establishing a different model to establish job security, to establish fair pay for, you know, equal pay for equal work. Mm-hmm. These kinds of issues are the issues that we're left with now. After a year, you know, we have yet to see the administration get serious in their discussions with us or in their proposals with us about pay. They seem to be clinging to a model that is really a new model if we look at the history of higher education, which is a model of just exploiting people who are highly skilled, who have years of experience, who are dedicated to their students. Many adjuncts have terminal degrees in their field, and just really exploiting that labor just because they can, which again really asks questions about like the sustainability of higher ed as a whole. And we've yet to see administration get serious about compensation. What we're asking for in that area is equal pay for equal work and nothing more. We're asking for pay parity with the lowest paid of our contingent full-time faculty member colleagues. So not even tenure track. We're just asking to be paid the same per course as other people who are teaching a 4-4 load as opposed to a 2-2 load, which is what we are capped at. Mm-hmm. We have a person on the bargaining team who, you know, gave her experience that last year she was part-time. This year she was hired into a contingent full-time position. And, you know, as she puts it, last year she was teaching an argument class. This year she's teaching an argument class. Same class. You know, she's teaching. She's like, I'm sorry to say I have not gotten 60% better at teaching this class over the summer. I think I was pretty good to start with, so it's pretty much the same class, but she is getting paid like something like 60% more to teach it. And so what we're really just asking for is equal pay for equal work, which I think many people can recognize as being a fair ask.
And you know, that's if I could jump in, you know, people might say, well, that's a significant type of a raise for someone. But, you know, she can expect the same type of a pay cut when she gets bumped back to part-time work.
That's right.
Sure.
And they never mention that. It's called a different position. But the person in front of the classroom is the same. They have the same expertise, mm-hmm. the same, and they're teaching, as you say, mm-hmm. the same course.
Right, yeah. And so, but you're paid by the credit hour you mm-hmm. teach, is that right?
So we're currently paid $1,400 per credit hour, and we are capped at teaching 12 credits per year, which is a cap that's designed to keep us from becoming benefits eligible. I think one of the really important things for the community to understand about adjunct labor in academia is that majority of these positions do not need to exist as adjunct positions. It's not necessary, nor is it, it's very, very far from ideal for these positions, my position, Brody's position, to be part-time positions at the colleges that they're at. You know, 30 years ago, these positions were actually not part-time. They were full-time, and they were that way for a long time because that's what makes most sense. You know, it makes sense for students mm-hmm. to know that their professor this semester is going to be on campus and able to be found for letters of recommendation, for further mentorship, maybe to take another class, just to continue those faculty-student relationships. That makes sense for there to be faculty continuity on campus. And we understood that as a society, you know, 20, 30 years ago. What's happened much more recently is that positions that should be full-time are being converted. So I think it's important for people to understand that these are not part-time positions because they should be. These are part-time positions because they're being forced to be despite the needs of students and despite mm-hmm. the needs of faculty. I mean, it does meet the needs of the institution to cut corners wherever they can. Mm-hmm. I think that it does not meet the needs of the constituents of the institution. It doesn't meet the needs of students. It doesn't meet the needs of faculty. It doesn't really work for what should be the primary mission of any college, which is education. You know, so it doesn't work for the classroom. So are they legally allowed to do it? Clearly they have been able to, but is it best for the mission of the school and for the people who make up the school? No.
Mm. Yeah. I think IC is in a tough spot because we don't have the same endowment that Cornell has. And so I think a lot of the, when we say, is it good for the institution, the question you really should be asking, is it good in the short term or is it good in the long term?
Right.
And you can balance the budget by cutting these corners and being the penny pincher in chief. But is that good for the long-term, you know, health of the institution? We worry that it isn't.
You mentioned one thing earlier, which is the job security, we'll call it that, approach. And how are adjuncts contracted with? I mean, what's the situation that you go through every year?
The lack of stability that comes with reassignment and the fluctuation of that really starts to divide.
Mm-hmm. And if I can just jump in with some specifics, part-time faculty are only allowed to have semester contracts. So we only are allowed to know for sure that we're going to be employed at Ithaca College for the next 4 months. And after that, we don't know. And mm-hmm. like Brody said, I feel the same. I like Ithaca College so much, which is why I'm fighting so hard to make it a better place. I'm fighting to make it work better for everybody. And, you know, everybody in the union we've talked to feels the same. And yeah, within your department, you might be able to get a sense from your chair, like, look, we want you to be here. We're planning for you to be here. But until you get that contract, you know that you might not be here.
Yeah.
And you also see through your pay and through the tiny period of time that the school will contract with you for, just how disposable they regard you. And it really gives you this sense of insecurity. I mean, talk about threats to academic freedom.
mean, right.
This is always on your mind. This is in your mind in the classroom and when you're lesson planning. And it's really important for our membership. People were the most concerned about getting to fair pay and getting to job stability. It's just, I mean, I'm sure everybody can imagine, it's just really, really nerve-wracking to mm-hmm. have to apply for jobs like up to 3 times, 4 times a year,
right.
To have to apply to your own job over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. The average tenure of a part-timer at IC is 7 years, which means that these are people who, like, even though they've been there for so long and clearly there's a need for them there, that's very long-term need, that the college could easily see that there's a long-term need. These are people who are forced to just sit on the edge of their seat every 3 months and wonder if they're going to be able to make this pay.
We should wrap up, but I want to get some sense of where we are in the process right now in terms of negotiation. And do you see, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel yet?
I don't know about the light at the end of the tunnel. We do see it, so much support. We see that students, when they understand what's going on, because a lot of this is hidden from students and from their parents, their tuition-paying parents in most cases, the fact that their kids are being taught by people who might not be there the next month is not something that the school displays proudly, and for good reason. And so when students find out what our situation is, they are by and large very, very supportive. They want to see their professors treated well, and they want to see their professors, you know, for righteous, selfish reasons, they want to see their professors given the resources they need to provide them with the education that they're paying a lot of money for. So we've seen a tremendous support come out from them. They held a rally a few weeks ago mm-hmm. that brought like 300 people to rally in support of our right to fair pay. Mm-hmm. We see a ton of support from our tenure track colleagues who understand that this issue affects them as well and that it affects the health of the institution. And that, for me, gives me a lot of hope.
Yeah. If I could sort of twist this analogy a little bit more, it feels like the tunnel is being brightly lit from behind, uh-huh. you know? The conversation that we've been having for the past couple of years is, you know, starting to take off, and people are starting to look a little bit more deeply at the workings of their educational institutions and saying, you know, if you're going to talk the talk, you need to walk the walk here and treat people fairly and value the education that you're selling. I think we have a strong chance of making some headway in negotiations and really accomplishing something. And I think that the time is a good one for trying to address this, and it's really kind of become a national conversation.
In the community, what people can do in Ithaca is help keep that pressure on administration to be leaders and do the right thing.
Right. Well, good. Well, thank you both for coming in, Rachel Kaufman and Brody Burrows.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yes, it's been a pleasure.